showered today.
It is 2:03 or 4, and I call this meeting to order. Special meeting. Let me get my agenda. Thank you. Item 2.0, approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? Thanks, Don. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. The agenda is approved. Item 3.0, West School West Wing Replacement Project. Hello, Larry. How are ya?
Well, thank you very much. I don't know if this is on or not, but I'll talk into it anyway. There's two items on the agenda, both related to West School, and the first one is an update of the West Wing replacement project. So I wanted to start with that and show you some sketches and plottings that we are working off of and that have been approved by the Department of State Architect to show you all of the different features that are going on. And the first thing that I want to show you, rather than the buildings at West at first, is how the layout, how the grounds are going to be once this project is completed. I'll walk you through this. This is the layout of the new West Wing replacement setup. And I'll take you through a couple of things. First, number one, disregard all this other information over here. This has nothing to do with, I'll show you this area later, but for right now, this is just information because this is an architectural drawing. The first thing I wanted to point out is that the two new buildings, the two new modular buildings, are going to be moved much further towards the main West School classroom buildings than these current portables are. And to give you some kind of an idea, this first building here is very close to the entryway at West, the little patio entryway where the flags are. That's this area right here. So the first building is going to be very close. So they've all moved away from Barbara Way, still parallel to the original parking lot. But this building is going to be down much closer to the main classroom building. The second building is kind of on a 90-degree angle from this building. And there is a courtyard area here, which we will show you in the other schematics that we have in just a few minutes. Neither building can touch one another. That's one of the regulations that we have to follow. Otherwise, a whole other set of codes go into effect. So that's why there's an opening here, but it actually works out quite well once everything is done. If we move over in this direction, right here is the current entryway to that little parking lot playground area, the primary playground at West School. There is currently a gate that is closed on the weekends and after school. That gate is going to be removed, because this whole area here now will become a parking area. So cars will come in this direction just like they currently do, and they will make a hard right around the utility box that's there on Barbara Way, and they will come in this direction and will circle around here and can exit the same way they go in, just like they do right now as far as entry and exit is concerned. And all of these areas here, all of these things here, are parking stalls. So there's parking here. There's parking all along the fence line where the residence is on off of Barbara Way. And there's a couple of spaces right here. You net about 20 to 22 additional parking spaces from what you currently have in that small area there also. The other thing is, this parking lot is closed off. Your main driveway through West School goes right here, and then you go out this way. these parking spaces, in effect, block that area. So this is a unique, separate parking area for West School. They actually have now two parking areas with separate entrances and exits. And West School can decide how they want to use that. There's all kinds of different possibilities. Parents in the primary could come in here, possibly park and leave their cars. Teachers could park and leave their cars. It'll depend on how Jamie wants to set it up. The other thing to note is that coming off of this building and extending all the way across to the property line fence is another fence. And it starts here and it goes all the way across. There is a big gate here, similar to the one that was on the street. Oh, thank you, Anthony. Similar to the one that was on the street, that will be closed at all times, and the only time it will be opened will be to allow for fire access, for a fire truck to get in, or for vehicle maintenance, or Hillsborough maintenance trucks and vehicles to get in. That is not an open gate that will be used by people from outside the school or even during the school, people who use the school as, you know, as parents and so on. That gate is not going to be open. There is a main gate right here to allow for people to park in this area after school on weekends and walk through this gate to the fields in the back. Okay, so you've still got access to all the other parking that's out here at West, plus the back parking lot way over here where the staff parks, and now you have this one, and people parking here will have to walk through this gate to get to the back field. Karen?
Is there space in front of those parking spaces where you can walk in front of the cars instead of behind them? It looks like there might be a thin walkway there.
Yes, there is. Nothing on this side. People getting out here have to walk across. But there is a walkway that comes all the way along here, and there is a walkway that goes in this direction, and there's you can get out here and come onto this area and walk through the man gate.
Okay.
So the only people who have to walk across the parking lot would be anybody who's parked here or here. Everybody else can get out and walk directly on the sidewalk.
Okay, because I know that's been a huge help for South School, having that strip in front of the cars, which means that you can go in front and you're not doing the dangerous dance behind cars.
You do have that, but in order to get as many spaces as possible, we did have to put in an area here where they won't be able to walk directly on the sidewalk after getting out of the car. But it's a very small, relatively small area.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie, you like this, right? This is something you want to have because you're giving up potential blacktop area for the kids. So you've weighed the, can you talk a little bit about the, okay. Yeah, if you don't mind.
So this is something I've even brought up with the parents at West as well. The interest is really to have the parking off the campus because it does seem to be not as safe as we would like.
Okay.
Especially at dismissal time in the afternoons, there's only a few cones that separate kids that might want to go out into that parking area when they see their parents' car parked. And we do have supervision, but what we're really there for is to watch that doesn't happen. I've spoken to the parents about the amount of real estate we're going to lose in terms of play area, but we're quite excited about utilizing the field for the younger children. We haven't done that before because they've had such large blacktop area where they've been able to play their soccer or those types of games. But now we're thinking we will utilize the field. They'll just wrap around and we'll have supervision we can cover there, which was not so easy to cover when you had so much blacktop you were covering. So it just sort of shifts how we're, you know, organizing the playtime and the play area. And the parents are aware of it. We've been talking about it since it started, you know, brewing. The other thing we're really excited about is really having more opportunity to integrate K-5 in their play, which we don't do now. We have the separate play areas. So we're thinking this offers that opportunity and change, which we've been talking about doing as well.
But pickup is still happening in front of the school?
It still happens at the front, but we have a large contingent that likes to go in and park and oftentimes not follow the rules, where they'll drive and wait there and we have to shoo them along to either park or exit that parking area. I think not having to monitor parents in that way is great. I mean, it's just going to be a parking lot. Mm-hmm. I also think what's a great advantage is we're fortunate enough to have a lot of parent volunteers, and so they'll have a place to park now, and that's just great because it's opened, you know, all day long.
Your neighbors on Barbara are going to love you because they always have people in front of their houses. Well,
if they have big parties, just think, they'll have
right,
a parking
that's
lot.
True.
So anyway, we're thinking it's going to be a really great improvement. I was telling Gilbert, but I've told my parent group this as well. I think parents will be shocked when they actually see it, because I don't think they've clocked, you know, just how much smaller that blacktop is going to look. But it won't be for not having communicated it and, you know, sharing how the yard will be used differently.
And that's still, there is still blacktop available, though.
Yes, we'll still have tetherball. We'll still have the four squares and the play structures. What we really have eliminated is those running sports that now they'll have field to play on.
And so, if the fields are closed, we can still manage the...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we can.
Yeah.
That's a very good point, though, because every now and then the fields are closed.
Yeah.
So
it can, as long as it keeps raining in California. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Don. So you were talking about starting to use the grass that's on Barbara Way. Is that the extra field that you're talking about?
No, sorry. The lawn area behind the back wing where the fifth grade wing is. Yes, we would never use that in the front because I have no way to really monitor that either with all the traffic.
That's what I was wondering. Okay, but you're gonna join the upper and lower playgrounds through the back field.
Right. Yeah.
And, can I ask about a number of parking spots? Is this compared to today? Is it more or less or the same?
More by about 20.
Which was intentional, right? Yeah, if possible. Yeah.
Thank you.
I did have the opportunity to meet with one of the neighbors on Barbara Way that's right across the street from the school, showed the family these drawings, and they were very impressed and pleased, feeling that it would be a nice improvement from what currently is there, just to add to that, a part of an answer to that question. This other drawing here, this other sketch I want to show you, gives you a little bit better perspective, and I'll work from here because it might be easier. Gives you a little bit better perspective and maybe answer some of the questions that you had previously. Here are the two buildings, and the two circles here and here are the two existing poured-in-place surfaces where the playground equipment is currently located. So those are not going to be impacted, and your gate that separates the parking area from the playground area, it goes right across here. And it's a little hard to see the gate because of the hash marks here. But there is a good distance between these two play structures and this fence. So it allows play area right up to the fence plus the play structures. Better safety-wise, much better safety-wise than what you currently have. Because right now, the only thing separating the cars in these play areas are the pylons and stanchions. There's nothing that really stops, somebody who makes a mistake and hits the wrong pedal from going straight through. This will alleviate that tremendously. And I just wanted to explain this hash area right here. This is an area that we have to leave open for fire access. Fire trucks have to be able to get in and maneuver. And this particular drawing was approved with, and we worked with Rocky Abala of Central County Fire to get this approved, and it's all been approved by DSA and by the fire department. This area that's hashed will give the fire department enough room to move their oldest vehicle around in the area without any problem. The thing we have to do, and we worked it out with the fire department, where we do not have to paint those hash marks on the ground. But we did make an arrangement with the fire department to make sure that we would not put any structures in that area. Every structure that we move, tetherball poles, those little basketball standards that we have where the kids throw the basketball into a little, like a bucket, and it rolls out one of two or three holes. All those things that have to be moved will be relocated. The kids aren't going to lose anything. We just need, when we relocate it, we just need to make sure that it's not in this hash-marked area. Okay, so I wanted to explain that to you now, but it's going to be clear to the site, so you're not going to have to look at a bunch of hash marks all over that that playground. Don?
How does the fire department get through the gate in the parking lot?
They have a special, wait a minute, let me think, because he wanted something different. Normally they have keys to get through, but he wants a special fire lock on it that Raleigh has already purchased that will allow the fire department to get in without having to go to the front of the school and get a key out of the knox box that's out there. These are new locks that the fire department wants us to put on, and Raleigh's already ordered them, so they're going to be able to access without any problem. Karn?
That gray shaded area, is that existing pathway, or is that pathway that's going to be created?
This area here?
Yeah.
That's all area that the fire department is going to have to be able to drive on. So
it would be paved there.
It's all paved.
It is already paved, or we're adding the
pavement? Everything on this side of that fence right here, everything on this side is already paved. On this side, we'll have to repave it because it's going to be torn out and then have to be redone.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Off of the fire access stuff, did we have to relocate any of the garbage or utility things, or were those able to stay in place under this plan?
They are all able to stay in place under this plan. The utility box is right here.
The old kindergarten wing used to get much closer to that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. These buildings have been moved further towards the main classroom building, which is right here.
And then the garbage is right in front of...
The garbage stays where it is. Yeah, that stays,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, everything that's being done is on the other side of that fence that separates the garbage bin container area from...
That is a big move. That's a lot of space for the... I'm trying to remember the layout that it used to be.
Yeah. And if any of you want to go up and take a look, just let me know, and I'll meet you up there, and we can walk it, and you can see how that works.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions?
The other two things I wanted to show you very, very quickly are the buildings themselves. And these are illustrations. This first view is from the buildings, looking at the buildings from the playground area. Thank you, Anthony. Looking at the buildings from the playground area. There is the opening between the two buildings right here. This is the section of the building that is closest to the entryway at West, and this is the way they're going to be situated. The color in the outside of the building is like a grayish beige color, and there is going to be a green accent color around the windows and around some of the other areas. There are some low windows that are 2x2 that appear. These are small windows that appear down here in an area right here. We've asked that those windows be relocated. To have a window that low really doesn't do us much good, but we also want to maintain the natural lighting. So the windows are going to be, these windows here are going to be slightly bigger to pick up these windows, which are low. We're concerned that kids might, kicking balls and one thing and another might hit those things. And we used to have windows at the bottom of North School on the primary, along those bottom area where the kindergarten classrooms are at North, and they were a nightmare to try and take care of. And that half of them, we redid it when we remodeled, but half of them had plywood because the windows had been broken at one time or another. Some accidentally, some not so accidentally. And then looking at it from the other side, this is the view looking through the area where the two buildings are coming close to one another but are not touching. And we're looking to have a wrought iron fence of some type to enclose this area. And this is going to be like a courtyard area for the kindergarten classes or for anybody who wants to use it, but basically for the kindergarten classes so they can go outside and, you know, do some outdoor learning and so on. If you recall the west, the current west wing, there is a patio area there, but it's all wooden, and it's up on three stairs. This is all ground level. There are no steps. There are no ramps. Nothing like that. This is all ground level, so people can access this. And this fence is totally enclosed from building to building, so there's no access, and it's about 6.5 to 7 feet high. The gap, I'd have to check. The gap is probably about 12 to 14 feet between each building. Yeah. Oh, it's very easy to get through. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because there are no doors to this courtyard from this side of the building. Kids are going to have to come out, and teachers are going to come out the front way and come through.
Don? That picture has a driveway. That's an earlier
parking lot,
right?
You're right. Yeah. This was one of the earlier iterations. That driveway, that's one of the things we had first looked at, and we closed that off. So that's
going to be, there'll be parking spaces.
There'll be parking right there, yeah. Yeah. And you can see, you can see here some of the bollards that are here that will serve as a barrier for cars that park right there. And then all the cars, parking stalls will have wheel stops as well. Okay.
That's important.
Karen, yes.
The other side, that overhang, is that overhang glass? Is that what it looks like?
It's not. It's.
Or a plexiglass. I mean, something transparent.
It's transparent, and I don't know the exact material. All of it is energy efficient. It enables heat and air and everything to get through because these Gen 7s are environmentally sensitive and they have all kinds of different special materials that they're using.
Like my mother, they're going to be very hard to clean.
They could be.
Just in terms of cost of keeping those.
Yeah.
Right.
Swiffers.
Yeah. That's a new leadership team at West. Swiffers.
That basically concludes my presentation on an update of the buildings and the layout. Production of the buildings is supposed to start shortly. Jamie and Raleigh met and got some of the final color plans for the interior of the buildings determined in the last couple of days. We had a couple of questions about locks and some other detailed things that we clarified this afternoon with AMS. So the modulars are just about ready to go into production. Erica is going to get us the production schedule and offer us the opportunity to come out and see the modular buildings actually under construction. She said it's fun to go and see buildings under construction, but when you know they're your buildings that are being constructed. So we'll get that schedule. We'll share it with you. And then if you'd like to take a field trip again, we'd be happy to try and work something out for you.
It's awesome. I highly encourage any of you who didn't get out there last summer when we did this tour. It's fascinating.
We'll see if we can get you out there.
Can we do that? That would be really cool. Yeah. Can we, sign it?
One last thing that I think I need to share with you regarding the update, which you might hear about, and I wanted you to be aware of it. Anthony knows about it already. West School, every school in the district has a real unique feature or features about it. You know, South School's got its creek running through it. North School is an historical building. West School's uniqueness. West School's unique feature is that it sits on a corridor of naturally occurring asbestos.
Oh,
Wow.
It's kind of a greenish clay-type material that is natural. It goes in a corridor starting, I don't know how far north it starts in San Bruno somewhere and goes all the way down to almost as far as Woodside. Unfortunately, we had that tested. We had to do all kinds of testing ahead of time. We had the same issue when we put in the new classroom building a few years ago. We had this tested. We have the test came back, and there is less than 1% natural occurring asbestos in the area where we are going to work. Unfortunately, Cal OSHA requirements indicate that anything over 0.25 of naturally occurring asbestos needs to have special monitoring done. We had a special test taken, and our area comes in at 0.75. Oh, wow. So we are over the minimum. What that means is we have to bring our hazmat consultant in, and they have to monitor any time the ground is disturbed. So demolition, removal of asphalt, and so on. The trucks that remove this stuff, and there's some that has to be removed, but not very much, has to be specially covered. The tires, wheels have to be washed before they drive out onto the street. We're going to have on top of probably one of the main classroom buildings, like a wind vane that monitors the wind. If the wind got to a certain velocity, work would have to stop. Now, we did this whole thing at West, built the whole new building, had the same thing happen a few years ago, never had a delay, never had a problem. We're not anticipating any problems at all. But it is something that needs to be dealt with. There is no safety issue for any students, staff members, parents, community members, none whatsoever. And I want you to know that. And I want you to be aware of it. And if you hear anything or anybody says anything, please refer them to me, or I will help you try and answer that. Our hazmat consultants have given us an updated asbestos dust mitigation plan, which has to be followed by our contractors. And the HMS hazmat consultants will be there to monitor our contractors to make sure that when that dirt is disturbed, that they will deal with it in the appropriate way. So it's all being taken care of. It is a bit of an additional expense, but HMS we've worked with before. They're charging us on a not to exceed, and they're going to try and work with other areas. They're working in Millbrae, so they're going to monitor both sites, which will keep the costs down for both us and Millbrae. So we're well aware of what's going on, and I wanted you to know what was happening, so that if somebody says something, or somebody says, well, what's that thing on top of that building, or why are these contractors walking around in white suits or whatever, you'll know why. The classroom building was never a problem, but that was further away from the street. This thing we're doing is right on Barbara Way, so God knows who's going to drive by and see something. You're going to have a summer school, or there's going to be a camp up there, but the camp's on the other side. There's no danger to those kids or anything like that. We've made sure of that.
So was this condition identified in the bid documents?
Yes, it was.
Okay,
yeah.
So everybody knew when they went in that this was
correct.
There would be some
yeah.
additional attention that had
yes.
to be paid here.
Okay, all the contractors at the bid walk, which was mandatory, received the dust mitigation plan from me personally, and had to acknowledge receipt of it in their bid proposal.
Good.
So, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Okay.
I have one
okay.
other comment and yes. question, and this is not about the site plan, but sort of preparation for the actual construction. Do we have a communications plan for letting our neighbors know on Barbara Way and surrounding areas that there will be increased activity at West School?
What I usually do, and I can change this if you'd like, what I usually do in May is write a letter and work with the town or go around and get the addresses. And because of the way we're going to have to bring the pieces of these modulars in, we'll probably have to go down, we'll go all the way down Alberta Way,
right.
Or Barbara Way all the way to Alberta. We'll tell people on Alberta. We'll even tell the people on
what's the street behind Albert? Roberts Court.
Right.
And the other one behind West. I can't remember the name of the street. Is it Alberta? What's behind on the other side? That's Alberta. Alberta, Barbara, Roberts Court, and we'll even go up to the other street that comes in off of the turn and let those people know what's going on, both sides of the street.
Okay.
And I'll draft a letter. I've got many of them, and I'll draft it for this one uniquely. Give it to Anthony, and then he can forward to you, everybody, so you can take a look. We'll also put something in the West newsletter,
sure,
to make sure that they have information well in advance.
Great. Thank you for that, Larry.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Any other questions? Wow, it's so exciting.
Good. Let me just move on to the next slide.
Yeah, if there are no more questions, any comments from members of the public? What you've heard so far now? Okay. B. Approval.
Okay.
Construction contract.
Last Wednesday, we had our bid opening. We had the bid walk the previous week, and I believe I told you at the board meeting we had 12 contractors attend the bid walk, which was mandatory. The bid opening last Wednesday went extremely well. We had 7 contractors bid the project, and I'll show you the bid results so you can kind of see what we had. These are the names of the contractors that bid, and they are in the final order of the amount of the bid. The lowest bid came in at $349,000. The highest bid came in at $750,000.
Right.
Not quite sure why that high. We don't ask those kinds of questions. And in between, a 468, a 558, and a 591 are the ones in between. So that's quite a spread. A little bit more so than we thought. The top four, relatively close. The engineer's estimate on the job after we've got all of the things done was approximately $380,000. So the low bid is below that, and the second and third bid, little bit more. The bid was a clean bid. We waited our 5 calendar days for a protest. We had none. So pending board action today, we've sent a letter of intent to award the bid to the apparent low bidder, and that's Romcon Construction. They're out of San Francisco. We do not know much about them. We have not worked with them at all. This will be a new experience. I'll show you. Did a little due diligence, and this is I have a picture that was given to me of Romcon's last project.
Oh, jeez. Larry.
The only reason I showed you that is because This board meeting is being taped, but it's not being videotaped. I'm just trying to add a little humor to the thing. Romcon is a small construction company out of San Francisco. They have done a number of jobs in the $250,000 to $950,000 to $1 million range. A lot of public work projects, some residential projects, as you've seen, but mostly public works projects. Had a long conversation with the estimator of Romcon, and am very confident that he did have everything in his bid that needed to be there. We went over various responsibilities, because this project is kind of unique, because we have a completely different contractor building the buildings and building the foundation for the building. So there is a series of responsibilities that the district has, that the contractor will have, that the modular manufacturer will have, and that the architect has. And it's all in a matrix, and that was in the bid documents, and everybody recognized that. So I went through that with them to make sure that that was understood, because it is a little bit lower bid than what the engineer's estimate was, quite a bit lower, to be honest with you, than the second bidder. Second bidder we know because it's a local contractor. We haven't worked with him, but we have a lot of familiarity with his work. And so we just wanted to make sure, because our responsibility in accepting a public works contract, according to the public contract code, as Greg knows, is the lowest responsive responsible bidder. There's three terms there. Well, we have low, we have responsive, because their bid was clean, but we've got to check for responsible. And we did, I feel we've done our due diligence. We do have a responsible bidder. Responsible is an awful difficult thing to prove. So, we have checked. We've talked with architects and so on, and there's no litigation against this company or anything that we've been able to find that would cause us to discard this bid and offer it to or bring it to you as the second bidder, or bring the second bid to you. There's nothing that would indicate there's an issue with that. So that's why we are bringing this particular bid to you at this particular time.
Greg?
Among all the public work projects, have they worked with any other school districts that you know of?
Yes, they have, and I apologize, I didn't bring the list. They worked with, Dublin, I believe. Dublin. They did some work in Belmont, Redwood Shores. They did some work in South City. And I can give you a list of others that I have that I forgot to make a copy to bring with me.
Okay. Marky?
So I assume we did reference checks or with those.
Right,
yeah.
We did, yeah.
Is there one obvious area of the contract where they thought they could do it for less, or is it sort of spread throughout in terms of labor costs? Or
it's spread throughout. One of the things about RomCon is that they are non-union, and there is no stipulation that we are not to accept the non-union contractor. They do have to pay prevailing wage. That's the key. And they are aware of that, and they do, and I did check, and they do pay prevailing wage. Our issues could come from a union that might want to see the payrolls, and we, by law, have to show them those, and we have to get those from RomCon and give them to them. We've had non-union contractors work with us before, and there's never been a problem. So I don't anticipate one now. This company's been around for over 20 years, but they just don't do a lot of real big projects. But no, there's nothing other than being non-union, and they have some contractors, some trade contractors coming in from a little distance, like San Leandro, and there's one other one from the East Bay. That also might be a little bit less expensive to bring in. So, yeah.
Karen?
Have they had experience with prefab buildings?
Yes, they have. They have had. Well, let me put it this way. They've had experience with portable buildings.
Right.
Not with American Modular Systems per se, not with a prefab building that's being constructed from off-site, no.
Okay, so they haven't worked with Gen 7 or anything?
No, they haven't worked with Gen 7. But I don't know that any of the contractors on that list, to be honest with you, have worked with Gen 7.
Pretty new product.
Yeah.
Other questions? Comments?
Will you be going over kind of the scope of work related to, I know there's, I don't know if the whole scope of work it's not in here, but did you say a different contractors doing the foundation, or these guys are doing the foundation?
The American Modular Systems is doing their foundation.
Okay.
This contractor has to prepare
the
site.
This is the site work, yeah.
And then American Modular comes in, forms and pours their own foundation, and sets the buildings on the foundation they've poured. And then this contractor comes back and finishes up all of the plumbing and electrical runs, sewer line runs, and then all of the paving and lining that has to be done.
And demolition of the current.
Demolition is done by this company, RomCon. Yes. Mm-hmm.
To have AMS do the foundation, I think is a real advantage, because when we visited, they made very clear that they build to the specification within an eighth or a sixteenth of an inch. And so what you don't want is to have one company do the foundation, one company bring the building, and then they fight over, oh, this isn't just perfect, you have to redo this. So it makes sense to have that being the same company. Most of this site work, you know, it's around the area. We have to prepare it and have a clean slate, and then the other company comes in and does that. So I think it's a good division.
We're scheduled to start on Monday, June 16th, first Monday after school gets out, and we're scheduled to be done by Friday, August 15th, which will give us a few days to get things back in.
Is that the contractual completion date?
Yes, it is.
Okay. After which, $1,000 a day?
Correct.
Okay. Where is that? No, the final date. Yeah, there it is. Okay, so it's August 16th. 15th or 16th?
15th is a Friday.
August 15th is contractual completion date. Thank you.
Now, we've had these contractual completion dates with our other contractors too, and if there's still some cleanup that has to be done on Saturday or Sunday or a cleanup on Monday, we don't make a big deal about it. As long as, you know, if there's no reason, if the reason they're a little bit behind with something like that is because not their fault, it's just because they've been working full time and they just didn't get it, we don't make a big deal about that. But if they've, you know, delayed stuff during the course of the project and then caused it to be late, then yes, we'll follow through. But we always deal with that ahead of time so they know it's coming.
Isn't the term substantial completion?
Substantial completion, yeah.
Any other questions? Yeah, Margie?
I may be the only one who doesn't totally understand this, but can you just explain in layman's terms the performance and payment bond, what that means or how that works?
Payment bond is a bond that they give us basically indicating that they will pay and do have the money and resources to pay their trade contractors, their subcontractors, and anyone else that works for them, including their own people. Performance bond is a bond that they have to put out that indicates that they will perform the work according to the bid specifications that we've given them in this document and on that are on the drawings, and that they will use the materials that have been that we've agreed to, and they will put forth basically the hours of work that are necessary to give us the job that we need to have done. And if they don't, then we can follow up with that, with their bond, on their bond.
Are you ready to take questions on the contract itself?
Yeah, okay. Yes, if you have questions.
Were there any other ones? There goes Greg. He's ready.
I realize that I could read that stack and know the answers to all this, but I haven't read that stack. So just
probably don't want to. Anyway.
Well, actually, I enjoy doing that.
Oh, okay.
just in summary, so this says in Section 4, it's $349,000 full and complete performance subject to adjustment as provided in the contract documents. Just generally, what would those adjustments be?
Adjustments would be a change order.
Change order.
If we request something, if they can't do something because there's some issue with the plans and we have to have a change order, that would be the adjustments that we're looking at,
okay.
Potential adjustments.
And then in Section 6, final payment is in accordance with Article 21 of the general conditions. Anything special about the final payment?
No, the final payment, usually the final payment is the retention. We require a certain percentage of a retention off of every
right.
pay application, and the final payment is usually the completion of the retention.
That's Section 7 is the retention. Let's see. You already gave me the date. Liquidated damages, performance bond, and payment bond. Now I know what they mean, but I was afraid to ask. Blah, blah, blah. Fingerprinting, I'm glad to see.
Yes.
Do that around schools.
Yes. There is a typo in the contract, FYI. So.
What's that?
Section 16, it says, this agreement shall bind and ensure to the heirs, devisees, assignees, it should be ensure.
Should be, excuse me, it should be what?
It's not ensure, it's I-N-U-R-E. It's not, you don't insure to the heirs, you insure. Yes. It's an ACT word.
Wish you were sore.
16, I think it was. Yes, this agreement shall bind and inure to the heirs deed.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's all. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments for Larry from the public?
Well, let me just say you'll be out of the buildings before we... Okay.
Larry,
We'll make sure of that.
Larry, can you repeat her question because she didn't have a microphone?
Oh, yeah.
The microphones are very sensitive, so...
So I was just wondering when the older buildings are going to be demolished.
The older buildings will be demolished as soon as possible after the last day of school. So it could be on Monday if we have everything out of those buildings. Chances are it's probably going to be sometime midweek of the first week of vacation.
Because before it's demolished, our crew goes in and strips a bunch of things that we can keep and use again. So on that Friday, we'll start going into the building and say, oh, we can reuse that, we want this, we want that. So we'll do some stripping and some saving and some, you know, disconnecting of the fire things and that kind of thing. So work will begin Friday. Whether or not demolishing will begin Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday is not, but definitely on Friday, work begins. Yes.
I think you could still have staff come in over the weekend if there's somebody who needed to get something out of there, whatever, without any problem at all. Monday, too, probably, but after that. Okay.
Are there any other questions or comments for Larry? Okay, so we have a job to do. We need to approve the contract of RomCon Construction to perform the site work for the West School West Wing Replacement Project in the amount of $349,000. Is there anything additional that we need to incorporate into that motion?
No.
Then I will so move as corrected on the contract, yes. I'm sorry, Greg? Yeah, is there a second?
I second.
Okay. Greg.
I'm not looking at him. Going back to the beginning, there was an overall budget. And now we've been through the hazmat people, we've been through the architect, and now we're doing this. Where are we on the big picture, if you have a sense?
Yeah, we're over, but mostly because of project has changed and has increased, as I've been letting you guys know on the Friday letters. So we had hoped that we would stay at the $1.2 million mark. That's what we were shooting for. That was before we had a notion that while we were to back up a little bit, one of the things that we were looking for is if we have to do this project anyway, and it's a have to, not of this summer have to, but at least by next summer have to, we were looking for if we have to do something big anyway, is there any value add that we can have? So when we had that $1.2 million number, that was before we realized that this would give us an opportunity to make a much safer playground and a much safer traffic pattern. So the original 1.2 was to do some simple site work and to land the building on that, you know, clean slab. Once we have increased the scope of that work, as you know, we have about $950,000 for the building, which includes the foundation, and then the contract that you're approving today, plus some incidentals. We still have adequate funds. We have several different funding sources for this project. We're going to go to several sources before we get to Fund 40. So, for instance, some of the Lehman settlement money is appropriate under this. Some of the money that people pay for us when they expand their homes, some of those fees can go to be used this because it's additional classroom space in our district. So we would use those funds first. So there's a couple of these funds that would be depleted, and then we'd go into Fund 40. And when all is said and done, we'd still have some money in Fund 40. As you know, our district actually has a funding source into Fund 40, which is our lease from Bridge. So this does represent about a, you know, 12 to 14 year accrual of lease payments. So it's a sizable project, but we do have a funding source to begin to build up that Fund 40 again. So Larry has presented me with a list of incidentals. So the incidentals of hazmat and you know, permitting this, permitting that, is in the $50,000 to $60,000 range. And then we've got the $950,000 and then the contract here. So, you know, again, the biggest reason for the creep wasn't because things cost more than we were expecting. It's because we expanded the scope of the project.
Thank you.
And we did. We got a great deal on the demolition, as I recall. 1.4? Yeah. Yes, Larry.
Just want to ask, the motion that you have presented, you said as amended?
Correct.
Is that the word? Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
No. You never can tell with this crowd. Was there something? Okay. All right, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? Are we ready for a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion is approved unanimously, and we award the contract to RomCon.
Thank you.
Go West! This is so exciting.
Thank you, Larry.
Here we go.
Thank you.
I know. Okay. 4.0 is adjournment. At 2:55, I'm going to put the gavel down, but I'm also going to say Greg had a great idea. If nobody else is doing anything right now, maybe we can go up to West.